So you're we're continuing the journey that you've started in the book of 1 Peter this morning. And we're starting, we're picking up from where you left off last week. 1 Peter 1, verse 17 to 23. If you've got one of the church Bibles, we're on page 1217. 1217. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 17. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. We're going to be journeying together this morning as the people of God. Well, there's a new series of the BBC TV series Challenge Race Across the World that's back on our TVs now. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's there are five couples, not always married. Sometimes it's friends or daughter and mother, and they have to travel across the world from a starting point to an end point. They're not allowed phones or the internet, and they're given a limited budget for their travels. It's compelling stuff, and you see them over the course of the series in the best of moments and in the lowest of moments as they journey together and try and get to that final destination. Well, here in 1 Peter, Peter has been encouraging Christians on their journey. Christians who are stretched and suffering and under pressure and persecuted. And he wants them to remember the journey that they are on and to remember their final destination, to remember where they're going, to remember that the living hope that they have, the inheritance that can never perish, spoil and fade, and to live in light of that. In verse 14, Peter's effectively saying, look, don't look back. Don't go back to your old way of life. Look ahead on the journey that you're on. Live in light of where you are going to that final destination. And as Peter continues in our passage this morning, he's He's encouraging them on that journey with what they'll need for the journey, for the Christian life, the things that they need to remember on that journey. And so our first point, as we look at verses 17 to 21, is remember the motivation for the journey. One of the most interesting parts of that TV program is finding out about the backstories of the different people on that race, on that journey. Why is it that they're doing what they're doing? What is it that drives them in those low points? What keeps them going? Peter wants us to remember what we need to keep us going on the journey of the Christian life. He starts in verse 17 by reminding them that God is the judge of all. No one escapes God's impartial, just and righteous judgment. And so verse 17, live out your times as foreigners here in reverent fear. Well, it's a sobering truth that Peter starts with here, isn't it? God judges each person impartially. He judges their work, how they live their life, impartially. There will be no favours. There'll be nothing that gets overlooked or swept under the carpet or gets forgotten. And as humans, we instinctively long for justice, don't we? We want justice in the world. And we want evil to be judged, and we want those who are evil not to get away with it. But the problem is that we don't want that to include us. And we want to see ourselves as, well, we're generally good people, aren't we? Rather than admit the sin and the evil that's in our hearts. The Russian writer Alexander Solzhenitsyn said this. He said he'd come to realize that the line separating good and evil passes not through states, nor through classes, not even between political parties, but right through every human heart. The line separating good and evil passes right through every human heart. It's only when we come to accept that evil lurks inside each one of us, and just how far away from God's definition of good and holy, be holy because I am holy, last week you read, just how far away from that we are, that we recognize just what an incredible thing it is that God has done for us in Christ. That he's provided a way for us to be saved from his impartial judgment. And so the live out your time here in reverent fear of verse 17 isn't, I don't think, that we're to be trembling in the face of God's judgment as Christians. It can't be that, can it? Given what we've had already in 1 Peter, that we've been given new birth into a living hope and an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. Their sins, our sins, if we're trusting in Christ, are forgiven. We can call God Father. I think the fear Peter is talking about here is one of wonder and reverence, because we've been saved from that impartial judgment. That little three-letter word at the start of verse 18, for, is key, isn't it? Live in fear, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ. Silver and gold are precious metals. They're among the most precious things we have, the most dependable and lasting things we have. What happens if the economy is a bit unstable? Well, the price of gold and silver goes up because it's because people think it's dependable, it's lasting. There's a certainty about it. Gold is at an all-time high in price right now. But Peter says, compared to what we've been redeemed and purchased with if we're Christians, well, they're effectively worthless, gold and silver. They don't even come close. They're perishable, he says. Gold and silver might well last a lifetime, but they don't have any eternal value, do they? And they might be precious metals, but they're nothing like as precious as the blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and defect. God gave up his son, the most precious thing, the most valuable thing to him, for our redemption, for our salvation. That's how far God has gone to secure our future, our salvation. And Peter wants us to feel the enormity of that as we journey on the Christian life, as we journey towards eternal life. And this is no last ditch action of God, no last roll of the dice to save us. Verse 20 tells us, he, that is Christ, was chosen before the creation of the world, but revealed in these last times for your sake. If you're a Christian here this morning, it has always been God's plan to save you and me from since before the creation of the world through the Lord Jesus and his death on the cross. We have believed in God through him. Remember, says Peter. Remember your backstory. It goes back to before the creation of the world. Remember what Christ has done for you. Remember why you're on this journey. Remember why you're living as foreigners and exiles. Not because something has gone wrong, but because of this most amazing thing that God has done for you. In verse 19, the reference there to Jesus as a lamb without blemish and defect. Well, Peter's original readers will have gone, ah, lamb without blemish and defect, Exodus. God's people being set free from captivity, brought out of Egypt. And that Passover lamb, without blemish and defect, whose blood was over the door frames. So that when they woke up that next morning, they saw the devastation around them, the firstborn of the Egyptians dead. God's people, the Israelites, looked and gave thanks. Would there not been just a sense of awe and wonder for them as they woke up that morning and saw what they'd been saved from and saw the destruction and judgment that had passed over them? That same sense of wonder and awe and reverence and fear of the power of God to save them, that's what Peter's talking about here. Remember. Remember what Christ has done for you. We need to keep coming back and reminding ourselves of that, don't we? It's all too easy to take that for granted in the Christian life and to forget. It's why we need to keep coming back to the cross. It's why you're sharing the bread and the wine tonight. We keep remembering what Christ has done for us. We're foreigners in this world, exiles, living not for this life, the empty way of life that this world holds out to us, as Peter describes it, but for eternal life, secured for us in Christ. If we're going to keep going on this journey of ours in the Christian life, we need to keep remembering our backstory, don't we? Secondly, we need to remember each other on the journey. remember each other on the journey, from verse 22 of chapter 1 through to verse 1 of chapter 2. Long journeys, they can have their highs and lows, their ups and downs, can't they? They're tiring. Things don't always go quite as we'd hoped. And if you're a family on a long journey, well, it's easy to take things out on each other, isn't it? And get grumpy and miserable with each other. Remember each other on the journey, says Peter, verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. The truth we've obeyed as Christians is our response to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We've submitted ourselves to him as Lord, haven't we? And in receiving the forgiveness that only he can bring, we've been purified. His righteousness has become our righteousness. We're born again into a new life for God. That's the wonderful thing that binds us together, that we have in common as Christians. We're united by the love that God has shown us. And as we grasp and experience that love, it's only natural, isn't it, that, says Peter, that we should have that same love for each other. If God has set his love on someone, well, it would be odd, wouldn't it, if we didn't think that person was worth loving. The word translated here as deeply is a word that has a sense of earnestness, of being stretched out in love. It's definitely not a superficial love, a comfortable love, when I can be bothered type of love. That's not what it is. It is a costly love that comes deep from within our hearts. And verse 23, Peter explains why we should have that love for each other. Again, it's that little word, for. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Packets of seeds, they have a shelf life, don't they? They have a best before date on them. They are perishable. And if you've got an old packet of seeds and you can't even see the date on there before, that's the date on them, that's how old they are, you're not going to have a great deal of chance of getting a crop from that packet of seeds, not unless they've been stored in perfect climate-controlled conditions. Seeds are perishable, but not the seed of God's word. It is imperishable, living and enduring. It lasts forever. And Peter makes his point by quoting from Isaiah chapter 40. All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Those were words that God spoke through Isaiah to his people living in exile hundreds of years earlier. Scattered people, weak people, discouraged people, people that are ruled over by surrounding nations who looked very impressive and glorious compared to them. And Peter quotes those same words to Christians feeling exactly the same then, and to us maybe feeling exactly the same now. The word that was preached to you, through which the Holy Spirit has worked and brought us to faith in Christ, stands forever. It's not like rulers or regimes or governments or ideologies. Here today, and maybe impressive looking today, but gone tomorrow. God's word is eternal, and it is still transforming lives today. It is living and enduring. And as Christians, we've been born into something that lasts forever, haven't we? God is love, we're told in 1 John 4. God is love. Love is what defines God. And just as love defines God, well, so love is to define God's people as we're born again into it. We're to love one another because that love is investing in eternal things. I don't know whether you've ever found yourself, maybe this is just me being incredibly sinful, but maybe you've found yourself, you just step back a bit from a relationship because you know that person is moving away, or maybe you know they're not really going to be around for very long. And so you might not put it in these words, but mentally you're thinking, well, I don't know whether it's worth investing in this relationship. Is it really worth loving this person? They're not going to be here very long. Well, sinful though that may be, and exposing my heart though that may be, we can't have that attitude to one another as believers, can we? Because the very opposite of true is true of our relationships together as Christians. We're looking forward to eternity together. What an incentive then to love one another deeply, to invest in one another, to put time and energy into one another, to care for one another. Our relationships as Christians that we have today are eternal. We're going to be in eternity together. What is that kind of love to look like? Well, Peter firstly shows us what it doesn't look like. Chapter 2, verse 1. What we need to rid ourselves of if we're going to love one another in this way, deeply. It means getting rid of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy and slander of every kind. You can't claim to love someone and be those things, can you? Malice is wishing harm on someone, taking pleasure when something goes wrong for them, rather than wanting the best for them. Deceit. Well, that's lying, isn't it? Or hiding the truth from someone rather than being honest and truthful with them. Hypocrisy is saying something to someone and then going doing something completely different behind their back, rather than being someone that can be trusted. Envy is wanting something that somebody else has, whether it's their wealth or their looks or their health or their job or their personality or their friend or their spouse, rather than thanking God for what you have and what they have. Slander is wanting to put others down rather than build them up. They're all selfish, loveless actions, aren't they? And actually, I think if you think about them, they're all to do with what is temporal rather than what is eternal. They're all things that come out of worldly desires and worldly feelings. Whereas if we remember that what we've been born out of and into the living and enduring word of God, and that is eternal, and that we are journeying together to eternal life, then surely our perspective starts to shift. And we move from what is temporal to what is eternal. And we will want the best for one another, and we'll want to help one another along that journey and walk it together and love one another and do whatever it takes to get to the finish line together. And so we need to replace those things in verse 1 of chapter 2 and love one another deeply from the heart. The rest of 1 Peter shows us what that love looks like. But I wonder this morning, is there something that you need to rid yourself of as you seek to do that? And is there someone that you can love more deeply this week? We need to remember each other on the journey. And then finally, and more briefly, remember food for the journey. On the Race Around the World, Across the World program, they keep things interesting by limiting their funds. And so often, in order just to eat, they have to work and earn their way around. Food is important for the journey. We need to sustain ourselves, don't we? Well, we need the same for our spiritual journey, says Peter. We need the food of God's word. We need to be like a newborn baby craving pure spiritual milk, we read. When you hold a newborn baby, there's an instinct in them that kicks in, and their head turns up and their mouth opens, and they're instinctively craving milk, aren't they? And baby's milk contains all that they need, all the essential nutrients, vitamins, antibodies that a baby needs. And Peter says, Christians, we have all we need in the pure spiritual milk of God's word. All we need to grow up in our salvation. How do we become a Christian? Well, we become a Christian by responding, as the Spirit works in us, by responding to the Word of God, by obeying the truth, chapter 1, verse 22, by being born again through the living and enduring Word of God, verse 23. How do we go on and grow up as Christians? Exactly the same, says Peter. The formula doesn't change. You've tasted that the Lord is good, and so go on tasting and feeding on his word. I think that's connected to how we're to love one another deeply, isn't it? It's as we read and feed on God's word that we see just how much God loves us, and the more we see and experience God's love, so we can't help but radiate out that love from us as he changes us. Milk isn't an optional extra for babies. It is essential. And so God's word is not an optional extra for us as Christians. It's not just for keen Christians. It's essential for our spiritual health and growth. And so, friends, as churches, there are so many things that cry out for our attention, aren't there? So many good things that we could be doing, and we could be doing in the community around us. And there are so many demands on our time and on our energy. And there may be pressure to do this and to do that and to spend our time in this way and that way. And many of those things will be good things and helpful things. But our priority as churches needs to be on the teaching and the preaching of the living and enduring Word of God, doesn't it? That's where spiritual life begins. That's where spiritual life continues and grows, and we're sustained and fed for the journey and enabled to keep going to the end. You are in a church that does prioritize the Word of God. Give thanks for that. Encourage your leaders to keep going in that. There may well be churches in and around Ipswich that look very impressive, that sound very impressive, that seem to be growing more quickly. but don't be distracted. And don't be deceived. Keep on feeding on God's word. It's the food you need for the journey. Crave it week by week, day by day at home as you open up your Bible at home. It's God's word that brings life. It's God's word that sustains life and reminds you all that you have in Christ and gives you motivation for the journey. It's God's word that equips you and reminds you to love one another and to remember each other on the journey. And it's God's word that feeds you for the journey. Verse 25, the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words of Peter to encourage us, to help us on our Christian journey, on our journey to heaven, to eternity. We thank you that it is because of the Lord Jesus and his precious blood that we can be counted to be yours, that we can call you Father, and that we are on this journey together. Help us as we journey together to love one another, to encourage one another, to journey together as your people. And help us on this journey to keep on feeding on your word, to be sustained by it, to grow by it, to become more like our Saviour, and more equipped and ready for heaven by it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word, through which you have spoken to us and opened our blind eyes and caused us to put our trust in Jesus as Saviour and Lord. Continue to work your purposes out in us and through us as we feed on your word today. Lord, we thank you for your church here in Caldwell Hall Road. Bless it and keep it and build it by your word, we pray. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.